Today's episode is brought to you by Kellogg's Frosted Flakes. Hello and welcome. My name is Naya Schoenhelm from Franklin Simpson High School's English 12B. Today's episode, we will be going over the controversial topic of are ghosts real? Stay tuned to hear about some haunted places and some haunting ghost experiences. To start off today's episode, I'd like to go over the series BuzzFeed Unsolved Supernatural. The hosts Ryan Bergara and Shane Madej go around to places that are claimed as haunted in hopes to try and prove to each other whether or not ghosts are real. With each place, they give in-depth background information and the history of the place. During Season 1, Episode 3, they explore three haunted places: the Winchester House, Doll Island, and the Sally House. They first stop at Sacred Heart Church in San Jose, California, to talk to Father Gary Thomas. They learn some interesting facts and receive some helpful advice.
Thank you for meeting with us, Father Thomas.
Sure.
I've read a lot about you.
Oh, thanks.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
How many exorcisms have you performed over your career?
Formal exorcisms, I've probably performed 50 to 75 in 10 years.
What is the difference between a ghost and a demon?
A ghost would refer to a disembodied human soul. A demon is a preternatural angelic creature that rebelled against God.
It's not human.
No, it's not. Their life form is dying. They've been dying since the moment they rebelled. And so they are attracted to human beings for two reasons. One, because they are parasitic and they feed off our life form. But secondly, their goal is to take as many of us to hell with them as possible, because they already know they've lost. I'm not trying to evangelize you.
I just got a shiver down my spine. So can a ghost and a demon both possess or maybe influence the living?
Yes. And I've had those cases. Where are these homes you're going into?
One of them is nearby here, the Winchester Mystery House. Essentially, it's a haunted mansion. And then the next one is a haunted doll island in Mexico City. The last place is perhaps the scariest. It's a house infested with a demon. Do you have any advice for us going into some of these places where we may come into contact with not-so-nice spirits?
Are we still on camera?
Yeah.
Okay. If these places you're going claim to have spiritual attachments, I would do nothing to invite them into any kind of conversation. I would do nothing to invite them to somehow show themselves or taunt them in any way. You don't want to create a tie with them.
So treat it like a fine art museum.
I would.
After they speak to Father Gary Thomas, they head off to the Winchester House. Here's some background information on the Winchester House.
Sarah Pardee was born around 1840 to a very wealthy family. In 1862, in her early 20s, Sarah married William Winchester, whose father, Oliver Winchester, founded the company that made the Winchester Repeating Rifle, a rifle that will become the ultimate weapon of death in the wars to come. In 1866, Sarah and William had their first child, Annie Pardee Winchester, but unfortunately, their daughter would die from a disease called marasmus only a month and a half later. In 1880, William's father, Oliver Winchester, passed away, leaving the company to William. But William contracted tuberculosis shortly after and tragically died in March 1881, only a few months after his father.
Oh.
That was the most disingenuous.
That was real.
Okay. Now that we've laid down the facts, let's get into the legend. William's death was almost unbearable for Sarah, who, according to legend, reached out to spiritualists and mediums in Boston to help her understand the deaths of her daughter and husband. Many believe that it was one fateful visit to a particular medium that would change her life. The medium told Sarah that her family was being haunted by the spirits of those killed by the Winchester rifle, and that her family members' deaths were retribution. The medium said Sarah's family was cursed, and that the only way to lift the curse was to move west and build a house, and never stop building.
They walk around the house, and in certain rooms, like Sarah's bedroom, which is one of the most haunted rooms, they try calling to Sarah, and when they do this, they don't really experience anything. There are a couple times where they go into a more spookier part of the house, and they sit there alone and try and communicate with her. The end result is that nothing happens, and they report the Winchester House as an unsolved mystery. They think that Sarah could have been building because she was mourning her husband's loss and her child's loss and didn't understand it. They also think that she possibly could have believed that spirits were telling her to continue building due to her mourning of her husband and child. When they are all done at the Winchester House, they travel to Mexico City to investigate the Haunted Doll Island. The Haunted Doll Island is in the old Aztec canals of Mexico.
In the 1950s in Mexico, Don Julian Santana Barrera was persecuted for being overzealous in his religious beliefs. After that, for reasons unclear, Julian abandoned his wife and child and moved to the island we're at tonight in the Xochimilco canals in the outskirts of Mexico City. The island we're sitting on is a chinampa, a man-made floating garden engineered by the Aztecs centuries ago.
Dope. I'm sure they'd be thrilled with what it's become.
Yeah, you think this is what they had in mind?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, monkey.
Oh, okay.
No, I thought I got bit in the ass cheeks by a spider. There's a lot of spiders here.
Oh, they're huge.
Julian lived on this island in isolation, and the story goes that he discovered the body of a young girl off the shore of the island. Julian was reportedly overcome with grief due to the fact that he could not save this little girl. Legend has it that shortly after her body emerged, a doll appeared where her body was.
As they are walking around the island, they see a lot of creepy dolls, including the one that started it all. The one that was found where the girl's body was. Julian saved the doll and hung it up to sort of remember the girl or honor her spirit as she was going through passing. And doing so, he started a collection and continued his collection.
50 years bring us to 2001, when the collecting of dolls came to an abrupt end. Julian's nephew, Anastasio, came to the island to help Julian plant pumpkins. According to Anastasio, he left to work on the garden, and when he returned, he discovered the body of his uncle floating in the canal. What's notably chilling is the fact that Julian's body was found drowned in the same spot the girl was found.
Later in the years, after Julian's death, the island became an attraction, and people would bring dolls, which grew his collection. The only thing they experienced at the island is crazy amounts of spiders and an uncomfortable feeling from the dolls. They have reported the island as an unsolved mystery. The final place they go is the Sally House, where a demon is known to terrorize the house and its occupants.
Located at 508 North 2nd Street in Atchison, Kansas, the Sally House is the ultimate haunted house and widely considered to be one of the most haunted places in America. Built between 1867 and 1871, this house has had three deaths inside its walls. Michael Finney in 1872, William True in 1918, and Agnes True in 1939. But while the deaths have perhaps added to the house's ghostly inhabitants, the real evil comes from something much different.
They decide to invite a paranormal investigator to help mediate. When they go into the basement, the EMF reader goes crazy, and the investigator says it's mostly due to the electricity down there, but that just means there's more power to draw from. When they go back upstairs, they put a flashlight on the counter and ask the demon to turn it on. After many attempts, the light flickers on and Ryan starts freaking out. They do this several times and the light turns on per request and off per request. Once it comes time to go to sleep, since they decided that they were going to stay the night, Ryan is slightly uncomfortable and they wait until 3 o'clock to see if they hear knocking before they cut their stay short. 3 o'clock comes and there's no knocking, so they pack up their stuff and leave. Coincidence or not, the light turned on when they requested the demon to do so, yet the Sally House was an unsolved mystery, along with the other two places they went. A spooking haunting experience is reported in the podcast series Unsolved Mysteries, in the episode The Haunting of Ball Cemetery. Ball Cemetery is a family-owned cemetery started in the late 1800s and is presumed to be haunted. Many people have reported paranormal activities, and David Rodriguez goes and inspects the story. One of the haunting stories is told by Ty Duncan after having been to the cemetery in his teenage years with a group of friends.
So there was Grant and his gal friend, Cindy, and then there was Charlie and myself. We're just kids driving back from Omaha, and one of the guys mentioned, "Hey, have you guys heard about Ball Cemetery? You know, supposed to be haunted and spooky place. Hey, we should drive over and take a look on our way back." Everybody else in the car said, "Yeah, let's go. Let's check it out." As we got a little bit closer, we were probably 20 minutes out or so, and I just felt like this was not a good idea. So I kind of said something to Grant. I said, "Look, this doesn't set well with me. I don't think we should go." And of course, I got razzed by everybody in the car. "Oh, you scared of going to the cemetery? Chickening out." And by this time, I was really feeling like this was a terrible idea. So, you know, we went. By the time we got there, it was probably just starting to get dark, 6-7 o'clock. It was fairly ominous when you look at the front of the graveyard. There's a, you know, kind of a circle parking area. And opposite of that was kind of a tree line. And there were some bigger rocks piled up on one side. And I just got the feeling that just out of view, there was a woman standing there laughing at us. Almost the sinister feeling of, "I told you to stay away. I warned you. You shouldn't have come here." As everybody piled out of the car, I was like, "You know, I'm just going to stay here." They're like, "Oh, you're chicken. You know, what's going to happen?" And the more I thought about it, the less I wanted to stay in the car, not having anyone around me. So I got out of the car and I walked into the graveyard with everyone else. As you walk into the graveyard, there's a lot of cedar trees. So it almost got darker when you walked in. Cindy and Charlie kind of walked to opposite ends of the graveyard. Grant and I, we were walking towards the very back of the cemetery, right down the middle. I don't recall what he said, but, you know, he was making fun of somebody's name on one of the stones, just making a crude joke about it. He laughed and I laughed, but it really wasn't that funny. And at that point is when things got kind of strange for me. I kept laughing. And at this point, it was almost like I stepped back outside of my body. I knew I was laughing, but it was no longer myself that was laughing. Grant said something like, are you okay?" And I remember kind of leaning into him and saying, "This is so funny. I'm going to show you how funny this is. Watch Cindy over there. It's about to happen." And he said, "What's about to happen?" And I said one word: drop. From across the graveyard, Cindy let out this painful scream. At that point, Charlie came running from the other end of the graveyard, and Grant looked back at me, and he just got this wide-eyed look of terror. And he looks at me, and he says, "What did you do?" And he ran off to help Cindy. I said, "Wait, where are you going? This is so much fun. This is funny. Where are you going? Come play with me." Grant picked up Cindy off the ground and just trying to carry her to the car, pretty much half carrying, half dragging her towards the gate. And Grant's like, "Come on, let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's go. What are you doing?" Charlie jumped in the car. Charlie was ready to go. He wasn't even, had no interest in being there anymore. At this point, I was walking from the back of the graveyard. I said, "Hey, where are you guys going? Don't leave. This is fun. This is a great game. Come laugh with me." And I can't remember if it was Charlie or Grant came in and grabbed me and, you know, all but stuffed me in the car, and we tore out of there. I really don't remember a lot about leaving. It's almost like when you wake up from a dream that was so vivid that you're like, "Did that really?"
Ty Duncan's story is quite creepy. I've noticed that going through two podcasts and this documentary that ghosts and demons can possess you. I've learned that electricity and can pretty much power a possession or haunting. I've learned that hauntings more so happen at night due to the simple fact that there's less disturbances. And I've also learned that when you're possessed, you have no control over what you do, what you say, what you remember, and how you act. So it makes sense that Ty doesn't remember and feels like it was waking up from a dream, asking yourself if it was real. Another spooky story is of the Loudon possessions. The podcast I heard of this is from Supernatural with Ashley Flowers. Her episode is called Haunted, the Loudon Possessions. And she says that in 1632, the devil came to Loudon, France. For nearly 5 years, dozens of priests performed hundreds of public exorcisms on a convent of nuns who claimed they were possessed by demons and accused the priest, Urban Grandier, of making a deal with the devil. During that time, there was also a plague that ran through the city of Loudon in the fall of 1632. The nuns that were possessed couldn't control what they said, and they would speak in Latin, not even knowing how to speak the language outside of their daily prayers. And some of the nuns went through exorcisms almost every day and sometimes twice a day. And with that, we end our podcast episode. I'd like to thank all of you for joining on this spooky trip. I'd like to thank Father Thomas, Ryan Bergara, and Shane Madej from BuzzFeed Unsolved, and Ty Duncan for joining me today. Please make sure to check out the next episode to hear more haunting stories. Thank you, and have a spooktacular day. I've never witnessed a haunting, or seen a ghost, or felt something spooky, but I do believe that it is possible for people who die, they can get stuck in limbo, and limbo can be still on earth but not seen, or in a blank slate, nothing there, just you walking around aimlessly forever. I do believe that spirits or souls of people can show themselves through other people in reincarnation, but I don't truly believe that they can be there without a body. Like, if you see an apparition of a lady walking across your house, I don't really believe that's possible. I feel like that's the eyes playing tricks. I don't really believe in the devil and possessions from demons, but I do feel that people bring on a sadistic and satanic personality to create a image. And I feel that people can believe in whatever they want, and if they believe in it, good for them. And I'm a see to believe type of person, so when it comes down to it, when I see a ghost, I'll believe in it. When I see a demon possession, I'll believe it. So, I don't think ghosts are real. And that is, and people like me, and then the people that do believe, is what makes that question, are ghosts real, really controversial.